Let me talk about human experience. Just before we jump into this, let's talk about what we as humans do. We see and hear. Now, those are the things, those are kind of facts. I saw that happen. I heard you say that. Those are the things that are really just kind of out there. The thing is, though, we take what we see and hear and we make a conclusion. The way I like to describe it is we tell ourselves a story. What I heard, what I saw, the evidence I am aware of, I'm going to make a conclusion, and I tell myself a story. Now, that story creates an emotion. And the emotion creates action. It stirs me to action. I saw you do this. I heard you say that. It made me really angry, and I want to yell back at you. So if we're going to change our emotion, we need to re-examine our story. I am going to ask you to do a very difficult thing today. I am going to ask you to re-examine the story you've told yourself. If just hearing, hey, there was a time period where the church withheld the priesthood from blacks. That's a fact. There was a time period where the church withheld priesthood from the blacks. Just hearing that causes a lot of people to tell a story, don't they? A whole lot of people are telling a story that's creating emotions. The only way we can change our emotions is if we re-examine our story. Now, sometimes what needs to happen is we need to add to the facts. I would like to add five truths, five facts that I don't believe are part of most people's story when it comes to the church and race and priesthood. I want to add five facts. And if there's something you've never considered, I would invite you to re-examine your story given what new information you've had. A lot of pieces of this puzzle have changed, especially since 2013. Something happened in 2013 that, for me, completely changed the story. Now, not everyone is willing to accept new information. I love my father, but I could never have the discussion with my dad because he held so tightly to the stories he'd told himself for so many years. And he wouldn't see it any other way. But I am going to ask you to re-examine the story. And if we can all do that, if we could just share this information with others and ask them to re-examine the story, then let's see what conclusions you come to. Now, here's the problem with this particular gospel issue topic. The church has not taken a stand. They left it completely open-ended. And I just don't feel I can do that. I think you expect me to share, here's what I think, even though the church has not said, here's what we as a church think. So I am going to tell you my assumptions. I am going to tell you the story I have told myself. And what I will hope that will do for you will cause you to change your story and to see it differently. So let me start with number one. Piece of information number one that people don't take into consideration is what was going on in the United States. Now, I'm going to say this as boldly as I can. I believe that slavery was instituted by Lucifer to destroy the country where the restoration was going to occur. I truly believe slavery was his plan to ruin the seedbed of the restoration. Now, slavery has caused all sorts of problems in this country and almost destroyed us. We were that close to falling apart as a country because of it. But before that happened, the United States drew a line and said, everything above this is going to be free states, and this is slave. And it became a problem as we let states come into the Union. They would only allow them to come in pairs. Because if more free states came in, it would tip the balance of power in Congress to those states who would like to abolish slavery, and the South wouldn't allow that. If we let more southern states come in and it was out of balance, the North wouldn't allow that. So they passed a resolution that states could come into the Union in pairs. So if we allowed a slave state, we had to allow a non-slave state. Well, Maine wanted to enter the Union. And there was not a counterpart in the South. The one who did want to enter the Union was Missouri. Anyone know what the problem was? Missouri was above the line. Missouri was above the line. So we made an exception. The United States made an exception. It's called the Missouri Compromise. That we would allow Missouri into the Union and Maine in the Union. Maine would be a free state and Missouri would be a slave state. Even though it was above the line. Missouri was a slave state and they knew they were kind of an exception because they were above the line. And then guess what happened? A whole lot of Mormons started to move into the state of Missouri. And from what part of the United States primarily were they coming? From the North. A whole bunch of religious Northerners, anti-slave Mormons were moving into Missouri. And pretty soon, the Missourians began to feel the pressure. And we were hunted. We were massacred in Missouri. The governor of the state of Missouri issued an extermination order saying it was okay to kill a Mormon. The Mormons had to leave the state, and if they didn't, you could exterminate the Mormons. And one of the main reasons, it wasn't so much religion that was causing all of this. It was slavery that was causing this. So, piece of number one, we were kicked out of Missouri. Women were raped. Children were slaughtered. We were killed in Missouri over the issue of slavery. That's a piece of our history that people need to realize. The reason we were persecuted in Missouri primarily was because of slavery and the condition of Missouri being kind of an anomaly. Then we moved to Illinois. After we left Missouri, we went to Illinois. Now, was Illinois free or slave state? Illinois was a free state and we were a free people and there was no conflict. There was no conflict in Illinois. We, as a people, were primarily anti-slavery. And we were in an anti-slavery state and everything was fine. So let me introduce number two. Now, this is where we need to turn to 2013. Something happened in 2013 that completely changed the story for me. Anyone know what it was? What happened in 2013 that changed the story of blacks in the priesthood? We issued a new edition of the scriptures. And we added a very significant paragraph. Now, all of you have electronic scriptures. And if you do have print scriptures, I'm guessing they're post-2013. But if you dig out a set of scriptures that was before 2013, it won't have the paragraph we're about to read. So turn to Official Declaration 2. Which is where we extended the priesthood to all worthy males. Official Declaration 2. Now let me pull it out. Let me put it up on the screen. In 2013, we added this paragraph. Prior to 2013, Official Declaration 2 simply started with "to whom it may concern." This paragraph was added in the scriptures in 2013. Two of my five pieces of information are going to come from this paragraph. This paragraph changed my story. Let's read it. The Book of Mormon teaches that all are alike unto God, including black and white, bond and free, male and female. Throughout the history of the church, people of every race and ethnicity in many countries have been baptized and have lived as faithful members of the church. Ready? Here's my number two. During Joseph Smith's lifetime, a few black male members of the church were ordained to the priesthood. Joseph Smith ordained black men to the priesthood. Joseph Smith ordained black men to the priesthood. What does that seem to tell you? Now, was Joseph Smith pretty much in tune with the Lord's will and what the Lord wanted to have happen with regards to priesthood? If it was not the Lord's will to extend priesthood to blacks, why would Joseph Smith be ordaining black men to the priesthood? Joseph Smith ordained black men to the priesthood. And then we got kicked out of Nauvoo. They murdered Joseph. They repealed the Nauvoo Charter. We could see the writing on the wall. So we left. Now, again, the United States is going to destroy itself over slavery. So where did the Lord put the church? While these two are going to beat each other up, tell me where the Lord put the church. Way out here in the West. Why did we come west? We came out west to leave that alone. Leave us out of your fight. We don't want a part in that fight. So we came out here to get away from it. Now, number three is another piece of information most people don't know. The very first pioneer company that showed up in Salt Lake arrived on July 24th, 1847, with Brigham Young at its head, included three slaves. Did any of you know that? The first pioneer company included three slaves. There used to be a monument downtown, and it had the names of everyone in the original pioneer company. And at the very bottom, it said three names and said colored servants. So we brought it with us. From the moment we got to Utah, there are slaves in Utah. So if Brigham Young does nothing, what is Utah? I know it wasn't Utah at the time, but allow me to. If Brigham Young does nothing, what is Utah? A slave state. And if word gets back there that we are a slave state, what happens? We instantly alienate the entire North. Can we survive out there without the North's help? There's no way we could survive if we're enemies to the North. Now, if Brigham Young takes a stand and says, no slaves in Utah, you're all free when you come to Utah, what happens if that message gets to the South? We alienate ourselves from everyone in the South. And which one was more wealthy? So what do you do? Truth number three is three slaves in the first pioneer company . Now you tell me what you would do. I defy anyone in here to tell me what you would do if you were Brigham Young. If Brigham Young says, you're not a slave here in this territory, you are free. Once you come here, you're free. There's no slavery here. You've alienated half the country. But if you do nothing, and we're known as a slave-tolerating state, you've alienated half the country. Tell me what you would do. And tell me if the church would survive based on what you would have done. So, Let's read this. Let's keep going. During Joseph Smith's lifetime, a few black male members of the church were ordained to the priesthood. Early in its history, church leaders stopped conferring the priesthood on black males of African descent. So somewhere out here, Brigham Young makes the decision, we are no longer going to extend the priesthood to black males. Now, number four. Let's read the next sentence. We're going to read it three times. Church records offer no clear insights into the origin of this practice. Church records offer no clear insights into the origin of this practice. One more time. Church records offer no clear insight into the origin of this practice. Now, let me tell you the story that I tell myself. It was not a revelation. It was not a revelation. How well does this church document revelations? Is there anything in the Doctrine and Covenants? Is there a revelation in the Doctrine and Covenants from Brigham Young? There is. Is it well documented? Yes. When Brigham Young received a revelation, did we know about it? Is it in church history? And regarding the ban on blacks, there's nothing recorded. No record. Now, can I say it wasn't a revelation? No, because there's no record. But what I know about this church recording revelation, thus saith the Lord, it gets recorded, it gets talked about in the Quorum of the Twelve. They take a vote, they discuss it, and there's no record. There are no church records. And I would suggest it was not a revelation. The Lord never revealed to the prophet that blacks can't hold the priesthood. It was not a revelation. Now that right there is what caused a lot of problem, because so many people felt like it was a divine mandate, that it came from the Lord, that it was a revelation. They started to make up all sorts of reasons as to why the blacks can't have the priesthood. And I grew up in that environment. I grew up hearing things like it had to do with premortal valiance or not valiance. It had to do with Cain, and the, you know, and all of those violate our articles of faith. One article of faith says we don't believe children should be punished for the mistakes of their parents. So is it consistent with our doctrine that current blacks would be barred the priesthood because of something their ancestors did? Is it our doctrine that you could have done something wrong in premortal life and be punished in this life? But we made up all those stories because people believed it was a revelation. And then when the church printed this, a lot of people freaked out. And we have to conclude that all of those are false stories. If that was the story you told yourself, it is false. If you told yourself the story that they were less valiant in premortal life, or that they're paying for the sins of an ancestor, that is a false story. And you need to change your story. There is no record in the church as to why Brigham Young all of a sudden banned them. Now that's where the story kind of ends. So allow me to just share what I think. And I'm going to be very clear. This is my story. I'm going to tell you my theory as to what happened, because the church doesn't take a stand. They just produce this and let you conclude. But if you ask me, let me tell you what I believe, and I'm going to add one more. Brigham Young was in an impossible position. We were slaughtered in Missouri over slavery. We were literally hunted an extermination order was issued to rid us from the state of Missouri because we were anti-slaves in a slave state. And here we are in Utah trying to get away from that, and it followed us. If Brigham Young does nothing, then we are a slave territory. But if he takes a stand and abolishes slavery, either way, we alienate half the United States, and we can't survive out here on our own by alienating half the country. So here's my theory. I think Brigham Young made a compromise to save the church. Brigham Young needed to do something to send the message that we are no one's enemy. We are no one's enemy. Leave us out of your fight. So I think his compromise was, number one, if you bring your slaves to Utah, we will baptize them. I would throw one more thing that I have never heard anyone add to their story. I have never heard anyone critical of this piece of history ever discuss. The church never, not one time, segregated its congregation. Now, those of you who've studied American history, how many churches can say that? How many large U.S. states, how many large U.S. churches never segregated? Did the Catholics segregate their congregations and have black churches and white churches? Did the Methodists and the Baptists, were there Methodist black churches and Methodist white churches? Were there Baptist black churches and Baptist white churches? Did the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints ever deny someone baptism or segregate their wards based on race? Was anyone ever, can you think of one, now that'd be all over the news if it happened, but can you think of one time the church denied baptism to any black? Never happened. And we never segregated. The church never segregated their wards. So I think Brigham Young sent the message, if you bring slaves to the territory of Utah, we'll baptize them. We'll proselyte. We'll do missionary work. And they'll be in your ward. They will be members of your ward because we don't segregate. But here's the compromise. I think Brigham Young, as a compromise, said, they won't be your bishop. Were there people in the church at that time that would have struggled with a black bishop, a black general authority? I think so. And how could Brigham Young make sure that no black ever became a bishop? He could withhold the priesthood from them. Now, if my theory is right, what would, we're going to baptize them. We won't deny anyone membership and we won't segregate our wards. What message is he sending back there? What is he saying to this group? Friend, what are we saying here? We're not your enemy. We're not, if we baptize them, we're not your enemy. But by saying they won't be bishops, I think he was making a compromise that would not alienate us from a large portion of the United States. I think what Brigham Young did. Now, did he do it purposely? Did he do it instinctively? Did he know what he was doing? I don't know. I've read all the things that he read, and I don't know that he was doing it. I don't know that he even knew he was doing it, but I think his gut told him he had to come up with a compromise that didn't make anyone back there an enemy. And so that's the story I tell myself, that Brigham Young may very well have saved this very young church from being destroyed by alienating ourselves from a large portion of the United States. Now, I wish things were different. I wish he'd never done that. I wish he'd never needed to do that. But do I feel for the situation he was in? Not wanting to repeat another Missouri? Clearly, we are not a slave-supporting people. But are we doing missionary work in the South? Are we trying to convert people to the church in the South? So for me, I think what Brigham Young did was he preserved the church to survive when it was very young and vulnerable. Now, here's what I know. Who's joining the church today? Where are we baptizing lots of people? Where? Africa. Poor countries. Right now it's Africa. In my day it was Mexico. You know how many we baptized? Preston, you went on a mission, right? How many did your mission baptize every month?
At least 100.
100. Okay, anyone else serve? What's typical of missions like in Germany? How many are we baptizing in Germany and the Netherlands? And in my mission baptized 400 people a month. I taught very poor people. Poor people are naturally humble. Humble people are more accepting of truth, and they join. Now, my theory is this. If Brigham Young had not done what he did, and I wish it hadn't have been the case, but if Brigham Young had not done what he did, is it likely that we may very well have had black general authorities in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Were there outstanding black men that could have been bishops and stake presidents and general authorities? I know there were. Now, what happens if the slaves are emancipated and word gets out that there's a church out west where we have black general authorities? What happens? I wonder if all the slaves come rushing out to Utah. And what would that have done to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in that day? I think it would have destroyed our history in this country, because there was a whole lot of people that would have turned on us. Now, would the church have welcomed them? I believe so. But I don't think the growth of the church would have come. So I feel for Brigham. I don't know what I would have done, but I sense what he did was a compromise to anger no one. We're no one's enemy. We will baptize them. We will not segregate. We don't have different wards. We start from the very first day we got here, we've had slaves. And we are not pro-slavery. We are not anti-slavery. We're not taking a stand. But I think Brigham took a position that let the message, leave us alone, keep us out of your fight. And that, I believe, is why there was a ban. Now, years later, President Spencer W. Kimball, this isn't right. This isn't right. Prays and gets the revelation, no, it's not right. Any worthy young man can receive the priesthood. We do not believe in anyone is better or worse based on race or gender or nationality or any other criteria. We believe Heavenly Father's children are all equals. So President Kimball ended the ban and said all worthy males can be ordained to offices in the priesthood. But five things that often get left out of the story. We were massacred in Missouri over slavery. Joseph ordained black men. Brigham makes a decision not to. We don't fully understand why, but we bring three slaves to Utah with us. Brigham makes a decision. There's no church records. And at no time was there ever segregation of wards in Salt Lake or anywhere. So I would invite you to re-examine the story. A lot of people claim Brigham Young was racist and that this church is racist. And I don't see evidence of that. I don't see among anyone, I don't see among any of the leaders of the church a disdain for any of Heavenly Father's children. So, my plea is that you re-examine the story you've told yourself. Hopefully, I've given you some new information and you can retell the story and re-examine the story and make some conclusions for yourself. I have wrestled with this. I recognize Brigham Young did something that causes an eyebrow to raise. And what? You did not? What? But if you put yourself in that situation and understand what was going on and that there's no revelation, at least no recorded revelation, maybe things aren't exactly what people have told themselves they are all these years. Re-examine your story, and I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, any thoughts? Now it's your turn.
Did they have the official declaration all this time? Was it just like all of a sudden, we'll put it in there?
There was no official, there wasn't a general conference where they made an announcement. There was, we generally put it around 1856, but we cannot point to the moment where it began. I don't know how it rolled out. No, there were no books. There was just, at some point, they stopped conferring the priesthood upon blacks. So, we can't, I mean, did we record General Conference? Yeah. Did it come up in General Conference? Did it say, here's the position of the church? Nope.
The black people who got ordained by Joseph Smith, was their priesthood like...
taken away?
Yeah.
No.
Did they practice or exercise? Yep,
they did.
And like...
and they're awesome. Yeah, they were never barred. They were never... their priesthood was never revoked. What does that tell you? I just think there's a whole lot of things going on that aren't necessarily factored into people's story. I know two of their stories, and they were phenomenal. Brigham Young commends one of them for being an incredible elder. Any other questions? Helpful to kind of add these pieces of information? Do you see that many people come to, they tell a story without factoring any of this in? They just hear that there was a ban, tell themselves a story, and they go right to the emotion. Instead of trying to understand the situation the church was in, a very young, vulnerable church who could have easily been destroyed if that came out here like it did in Missouri. Okay, is that helpful? Yeah. Now, can I point out, I think it's important to tackle controversial issues. I want to answer your questions. I want to paint a different picture. I want to add facts to allow you to change your story. But this wasn't as fun as the other lessons have been. Would you agree? Important to talk about? Yes. But as uplifting as what we've been doing? Probably not. So do you want to do this one more time with plural marriage and end there? Or do you want to end on maybe something more uplifting? I'm happy either way. If you have questions about plural marriage, I'd love to do this with plural marriage. Because the biggest attacks against the church right now have to do with plural marriage. So what I'd love to do is just simply let me lay some things on the table. Perhaps what were they thinking? What was their motive? Let me see if I can add some new information that will allow you to change your story, but it won't be as positive as if we talked about faith, repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I definitely want to answer your questions if you have them. So, last class next week, raise your hand if you'd like to tackle plural marriage. How many of you don't care and would be fine either way? How many of you would prefer not to do plural marriage? Okay, so how about I'll try and do it as quick. I can't do it quickly, but I'll try and do as much as I can, answer your questions, maybe present some what were they thinking, and then maybe the last little bit we can just talk about something uplifting so we end on a spiritual. Does that sound like a plan? Okay. I just want to remind you of the gold and the clay principle. Everything God does is gold, and then he hands his gospel over to men, and we put our fingerprints all over it, and we mix the clay in with the gold. Our country did a horrible thing. There's no escaping that it was a horrible thing, and it almost destroyed us. It's a miracle it didn't destroy us. And how a very young church who tried to not be part of that fight survived that fight without segregating, without doing what many other churches did, that I think there's something to be said about that. I do not find racism in the leadership of the church like we are accused of having. In fact, the whole point of the Book of Mormon was trying to save the Lamanites. How many times did they try to save the Lamanites? I leave you my testimony. I love Brigham. I love him. I can't wait to meet him. Now, was he Joseph Smith? Was he this spiritual giant that received revelations like crazy like Joseph did? No. What was Brigham's skill set? It was a very practical, let's build a kingdom out of the desert. How much does the United States owe to Brigham Young in settling the West? Do you know who founded Las Vegas? Brigham Young did. He sent Mormon settlers to Las Vegas and almost everywhere else in the West. He was really good at temporal things. Now, did he profess to be the revelator that Joseph was? No, he never did. I love him. Are there things I wish he would have done differently? Probably, but I don't know what I would have done instead. I think he was in a tough position. I don't think he is worthy of the butchering that he gets from enemies of the church. But they were human beings, and everything that God does is gold and then hands it over to human beings. And so